everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities Podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's August 2025, and this is episode 460, which is a conversation about the death of credentials and experts and how social media has dumbed culture down. On this episode, I'm joined by Dr. Douglas Groteis. He is Distinguished University Research Professor of Apologetics and Christian Worldview at Cornerstone University in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Doug is the author of 15 books, including Christian Apologetics, Second Edition. Doug has written an article for the Christian Research Journal in his Culture Critique column, and it is titled, The Death of Credentials, How Social Media Influencers Dumbed Us Down, Lined Their Pockets, Displaced Experts, and Made Everything Worse. And you can read his article for free at our website, equip.org. That's EQUIP.ORG. Doug, it's great to have you on again.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, Doug has written a new piece for us for his column in the Christian Research Journal. And this time he is talking about social media and kind of how really it has impacted the idea of people being experts. And so, first of all, I would like to know, what were the circumstances that led to you writing this piece that was made you think about this topic?
Well, I'm very interested, of course, in apologetics and Christian ethics and trying to be a voice for truth and wisdom in the world. And I'm something of a media critic, and I've also been around for a long time. I had my first article published in 1981. It was a book review. My first book came out in 1986. So this is way before the internet was popular, way before social media. And back in the day, if you wanted to influence people, you would write an article, write a review, write a book, be on a radio program, write a newspaper article, magazine article. And that was about it. And now the opportunities for influence are just everywhere. And the price of entry is not that high. Basically, you have to have some kind of a platform. So you can create a podcast or put things on Facebook or Instagram or whatever it is. You can gain a following. So the older idea was that if you were a person who traded in the world of ideas, let's say theology, philosophy, history, culture, you would get an education, derive credentials, and then begin to speak, maybe be a professor or teacher of some kind, maybe pastor, and find these avenues for influence, which were mostly written. And back in the day, it was pretty rare that authors would even be on video. They might be on television, like the old Firing Line interview program that William F. Buckley had, or maybe sermons would be televised. But now, anyone who can find a platform on social media can become what is known as an influencer. And I find that term to be significant. It's a fairly new term in terms of identifying someone. So the older term, or sort of a cousin term, would be a public intellectual. So an intellectual, try to give a neutral description, is someone who is a scholar, an academic, writes, speaks, and works in the world of great ideas and arguments and evidence and things like that. And a lot of intellectuals are not so much in the public. They're more teaching at colleges, universities, seminaries. Maybe they're independent scholars. A public intellectual is someone who takes these ideas to the broader public, but remains an intellectual and brings to the table some academic credibility or some intellectual heft, you might say. So, a classic public intellectual from decades ago would be someone like William F. Buckley, the author and television host and provocateur. And there were others, but there weren't that many of them. And it wasn't that just anybody who had ideas about anything could gain a huge following. And what I've seen in recent years, especially with podcasts and YouTube, is that people can gain huge followings without being very well credentialed. That is, their credential is basically that they're popular. So many years ago, there was this extremely insightful book called The Image by Daniel Boorstin. And he wrote this in, I think, 1960. And he said, we're reaching a situation of celebrity influence where people are well known for their well-knownness, which is odd because you think, well, someone should be known for their talent, their intelligence, their abilities as a politician or an academic or something. But he was very concerned about the rise of celebrity influence in areas where celebrities shouldn't be influential, maybe talking about morality or God or history or something like that. And now I think of the areas that I have some expertise on, like philosophy and theology and apologetics and so on. And I find these people who are known as influencers. And I look at their statistics and I see that they have multiple thousand followers, thousands of likes, thousands of shares, and so on. And the product, or I guess the content that they're giving, is often very shallow. It's very image oriented. It's all about the production values of using different video clips and so on. And this worries me, you know, as someone who spent his entire adult life pursuing education, writing books, trying to defend Christianity and apply Christian truth to the world. It concerns me when people are influencers who really don't have the credibility to be good influencers, you know, to be people that are wise counselors. So that's why I wrote the article, to help give us a little bit of discernment about these areas.
So, yeah, like you were saying, this is a whole new phenomenon, really, in the last 20 years. So, as you kind of laid out, the descriptions, what would make someone an influencer instead of a public intellectual? And specifically, how does the pursuit of influence differ from a pursuit of intellectual engagement? What are the differences?
Yeah. Well, you know, to use the old archaic term public intellectual, which I really don't hear much anymore, this is someone who has bona fide credentials, someone who has most likely college degrees, has written articles and books. Now, there have always been exceptions to this. There was a writer who was pretty well known and really quite wise in the 60s, 70s, maybe into the 80s, named Eric Hoffer. He wrote a very influential and insightful book called The True Believer. And he was actually a longshoreman. He was a completely self-educated man. He was an independent scholar, but he had the chops, you know, to use a jazz phrase. He spent a lot of time in the library. He was a masterful writer, deeply insightful. And so, even apart from academic credentials per se, he became a public intellectual of some note. But typically, you're talking about Eric Hoffer or William F. Buckley. You're talking about people who have made their mark in the world of ideas, trying to understand the origin of ideas, the implication of ideas. And then they wanted to bring their research into the public. So it was first the learning and then the influence. And what's happening with the influencers is it seems to be influence for influence's sake. So, how do you become well known? How do you become popular? How do you become a celebrity online? Well, you need a brand. You need to have some kind of distinctive image or distinctive look or feel that will draw people to your YouTube channel or to your podcast. It's not primarily competence and credentials. It's more competence in making yourself popular. And that actually gets things backwards because you should only speak publicly about significant matters if you have something worthwhile and thoughtful to say. That is, if you have any integrity. Now, if you're simply trying to make money, be popular, be appreciated, and you really don't care about what's objectively true or rational, then have at it. That's wrong. But if you have a conscience, and we should, because Jesus said, by our words we'll be justified and by our words we'll be condemned, then we need to ask, do I have something that other people need to hear? Because we're always teaching, even just in an informal conversation, we're expressing ideas that will influence people. So if you're going to be influencing hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of people, the basic idea is you don't want to lead them astray. You want to have something worth listening to. You know, you want to use biblical language, equip people for good works. And what I find with a lot of the influencers, and I distinguish, you know, the kind of influencer I'm worried about from a really solid person who has a podcast or YouTube channel, is they just seem to be playing for an effect and not really trying to educate or to bring knowledge to people about the things that really matter. So, for example, let's take a very well-credentialed scholar like William Lane Craig. You can't get any more distinguished or any more established as an academic than William Lane Craig. But he also has a podcast. You can find short video clips that he does. But all of that comes out of a lifetime of study. And I disagree with Bill on a few things, but you'll never hear Bill say anything fluffy or silly just to get attention. So, as I said earlier, the learning came first. And then, as a Christian philosopher, statesman, apologist, he wants to make the truth known as broadly as possible. So, and same's true of me. I wrote a big book called Christian Apologetics at 850 pages. I don't expect everyone to read that. I don't even expect, I hope, but I don't even expect some of my students who are assigned it to read all of it. It's a lot of work. I think it's readable. I think it's interesting. But at the same time, I try to mix it up. So I appear on podcasts, I appear on radio programs, I give lectures, I do panel discussions. So I'm trying to vary the format through which I try to impart the knowledge.
Did you know that the Christian Research Institute has been around for 65 years? It was founded in 1960. And did you also know that the Christian Research Journal is going on almost 50 years of existence? And that means there is so much free content available to you from those 50 years that we have been studying cults and aberrant Christian movements within the church and alternative religious systems and other world religions and Christian ethics and now cultural apologetics, because so many people are being influenced by what they watch, not merely what they read anymore. And so the Christian Research Journal is really here to equip you, to help you understand what trending religious doctrinal things that are happening out there and how you can respond to them and how you can interact with others who are holding to those things and also to be able to give a defense of the Christian faith and be able to answer some of those things. And if you're a longtime listener of the Postmodern Realities podcast, you know we've been around for 9 years. That's a long time. We're over 460 episodes now, and we are continuing to bring you all of that content. And a couple of years ago, we started kind of featuring October as our time to really deal with some of those movements that are cultic or specifically occultic, because that's just really seen a resurgence. As you know, in the last few years, we've covered witch talk and ancient aliens that's been around for more than 20 seasons. So much going on. And so our culture in the United States and the West, we kind of focus on occultic types of things around October. So I just want to give you a sneak peek of what's coming up in about a month. There is a new Conjuring film that's coming out at the beginning of September. We're going to be covering that. We are going to be covering psychics and also mediums. They're not the same thing. And also have a satanic ritual abuse update. And actually, our satanic ritual abuse article that was written in the early 90s is one of the most popular articles on our website every single month. And so people are really interested in this topic, and we want to bring you up to date because it's been more than 35 years since we wrote that article and published it. And so we want to give you an update on what's been happening with satanic ritual abuse. So please stay tuned to the Postmodern Realities podcast. Please continue to tell other people about it and to share this content, your favorite episodes on your social media pages or by email, by telling a friend, by texting someone. We really look to you to help us get the word out, just so people know that we're out here and we're here to equip them with everything about how to know how to think Christianly and be able to respond to all these different movements and different theological trends. So thank you for faithfully listening. And now back to my conversation with Dr. Douglas Groteis about the death of experts. Well, I want to give our listeners some stats before I ask this next question to Doug. And one of those things is influencers have really come across some of the more well-known social media platforms, but some of them have been around for a while. So YouTube was founded in 2005, which is 20 years ago. And last year in 2024, this is just amazes me, they had more than 2.7 billion monthly active users, like regularly on the platform. And they are collectively watching more than 1 billion hours of videos every day across all kinds of subjects. And so then I looked up a recent survey from Adobe. They do, you know, Photoshop and different like layout kind of programs. And so they did a survey, and they had a survey. They surveyed 1,000 people between the ages of 18 and 30. And they found that 1 in 3 kids between 18 and 30 wanted to grow up and be an influencer. And their most popular platform, now you would think that it's TikTok, but actually it's kind of tied with the younger generation, with Gen Alpha and Gen Z. They like YouTube just as well. So YouTube was the preferred platform for these kids, saying that they wanted to grow up and aspire to be an influencer. So I wanted to ask you, so what does the medium of social media, so I just mentioned TikTok and YouTube, but of course the ages skew a little bit older, but Instagram and of course podcasts, like you mentioned, because the invention of YouTube suddenly meant, and also podcasting suddenly meant, any person could pick up their smartphone, could pick up a video camera, could pick up a microphone and just say their opinions into the world. And so how are these particular messages being conveyed by this medium since, of course, the invention also, like now when YouTube was invented in 2005, the iPhone had not been yet invented. That was invented in 2007. So it's been almost 20 years for those kinds of things. And now we have these tools that any average person, I mean, I could go on to Amazon and buy some really effective microphones for about $15 and start podcasting. So how does that affect the messages that are going out and just this idea of wanting to grow up and be an influencer and just make money making videos about your opinions?
Well, it makes it very, very easy. And I was writing and studying the internet early on. I wrote a book back in 1997 called The Soul in Cyberspace. And back in the day, the idea was that the internet was the great agent of democracy because at that time there were gatekeepers. So you didn't get on television unless the promoter allowed you on. You didn't get an article published unless the editor accepted it. You didn't even have a letter to the editor accepted unless the editor accepted it. So there were these gatekeepers or filters. And now with the internet, everyone could go online and exchange ideas, and we would all be the better for it. Well, it didn't quite work out that way. So the issue really, I keep coming back to this, is credentials and credibility, not popularity, but credibility. And we've also got this problem that Carl Truman has identified of what's called expressive individualism. He talks about this in The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self, a masterful book. And for many people today, the most important item is for them to express their feelings, whether or not they're well-regulated feelings, whether or not they're knowledgeable about what they're talking about. The most significant item in life is to express yourself and to exude your personality. And Oz Guinness has written about this. In modern times, personality is more important than character. So character has to do with virtue, like being self-controlled and patient and loving and modest and things like that. Personality has to do with how you come across. Are you charismatic? Are you interesting? Are you funny? Are you attractive? Is there some quirky thing about you that people find interesting or funny? So there's this idea that expressing yourself is the most important thing. Personality is more important than character. And now we have the gatekeepers removed as points of access. Now, of course, I still can't get an article published in the New York Times because there are gatekeepers there and they wouldn't accept my ideas. The gatekeepers are still there for newspapers and magazines and radio shows. But the issue is the media have expanded all over the place because of the internet, because of YouTube, podcasts, Facebook, all the rest of it. So the idea is, well, I want to be well known. I want to influence people. I want people to like my brand. And for many years as a teacher, I've told my students, primarily students who were going to go into pastoral ministry, I said, ask the Lord that your influence never exceeds your character. Because if you're influencing scores and scores of people and you're not a very righteous person, the influence is not going to be for the better. It's not going to be for the glory of God, the good of other people, the building up of the church, and for the expansion of the kingdom. And biblically, we're told to study to show ourselves approved. And there are many, many passages about God placing a higher standard on teachers, particularly in James 3. James says, don't let many of you become teachers because teachers are judged more strictly because they have a greater influence. And they're dealing with the word of God, which you do not want to teach in the wrong way.
So I think some people are probably listening to this and have some questions because you've been talking about credentials and education and degrees. And I think there's a growing sense in America just across, it doesn't matter the political divide really. And so maybe this is a different conversation, but also want to ask you about it, is that not everybody's cut out to go to college. And so what if they really don't have any interest in this kind of intellectual engagement that you're talking about? That's part of my question. And then my other part is that, you've been talking about these credentials. So how do you think that credentials would play a part in public influence when there's an increasing movement towards people thinking it's not important to get any further education, perhaps, or to pursue knowledge? And then why should we want to pursue it if you, even if you're a person like, well, I don't like to read. So I know that's a complex thing that I'm asking you, but I know there are some people that are thinking about it. Well, I don't really want to go to college. I don't know about getting credentials. Why does this matter?
Right. Well, I'm really trying to focus on influencers that speak to things like religion, Christianity, apologetics, moral issues, political issues. I have nothing against influencers who are helping people how to play chess better or to train their border collie more effectively. There are all kinds of people on the internet with helpful skills. There are a lot of things that are simply funny that you enjoy. There's a comedian I like to watch named Mike Goodwin, who's a Christian comedian, and he's clean and he's really funny. And I don't go to Mike Goodwin, to learn apologetic method or epistemology. He's a good, clean comedian, and I like him. He seems like a great guy. But what worries me is when people, especially people who are deconstructing, will go on and say, well, I used to be an evangelical and now I know something about the Bible, and I'm going to show you why the evangelicals are wrong about God and about salvation and why the Bible is full of errors. And they get this huge following. And I interacted with a guy like this a few months ago, and I tried to give a serious response to some of his charges. And in the comments that followed, there was no serious engagement with me whatsoever. It was basically, well, you're one of them. You're an apologist, so how could you possibly have anything significant to say? And I thought, well, maybe because I have 3 degrees in philosophy and I've written 20 books. But in that medium, for many people, it doesn't matter. You just find a compelling image or a personality who seems credible, and that gets all the attention. And then the serious intellectual work of analysis and critique just goes by the wayside. So when you're engaging this medium, I mean, whatever it might be, YouTube, Facebook, I think you need to ask, what am I after? Because we are to redeem the time, for the days are evil. We don't want to waste our time in this life. Moses says, teach us to number our days so we may gain a heart of wisdom. So if we really want to learn what the Bible teaches, theology, how to interpret it correctly, how to defend it, apologetics, what is a biblical view of sexual identity, abortion, the state, etc., we need a lot more than social media influencers. We need to read significant books, or we need to find people online who are credentialed, who are credible, who are serious Christians, who have produced content that holds up. Let's say if you can find a lecture series from R.C. Sproul on theology, or Oz Guinness on social issues, or William Lane Craig on apologetics, or me on apologetics, or J.P. Moreland on epistemology, or mind-body dualism. There's lots of very solid material, but you have to know where to look. And sometimes the most knowledgeable and credible people are not the most superficially attractive. They don't have some kind of snazzy brand, but they have wisdom and they have knowledge. So I'm an ardent advocate for good old-fashioned turn everything off and sit in a room and read a book, especially the Bible. But read the Christian classics, read Saint Augustine, read Blaise Pascal, read C.S. Lewis, and let them influence you, because you're talking about some of the wisest people who have ever lived. And they're dead, and they're not producing videos unless, somebody makes a deep fake of it, and that wouldn't really be them anyway. So for one thing, let's portion our time wisely and leave a lot of space, a lot of room for simply spending time reading and pondering thoughtful books by the greats of all time. And not just, well, what's the latest 3-minute clip from a YouTube influencer?
So, how do you think that Christians can wisely interact with social media and various social influencers? And like Doug said earlier, I'm sure you're not talking about influencers that have actual degrees, like medical professionals or professors that have millions of followers on YouTube or Instagram and et cetera, but just generally people that just are the average person that you've has amassed thousands, hundreds of thousands, a million followers. So how do we wisely interact with that content if we interact with it at all? If we have some favorite influencers that, just
Yeah.
it's about their lives or something like that.
Right. Well, I think you'd have to say, what are they competent to influence me in? Am I coming to this simply for some entertainment? Am I trying to find a skill? A few months ago, my automatic warning on my car went off in the middle of the night, so the horn just kept honking in the middle of the night. So, I went online and went on YouTube and tried to figure out how do you disable the horn? It was an exigency, especially for the neighbors. So that was very specific and that was very helpful. But let's say I want to try to figure out what is a biblical teaching on baptism or church government. Well, then I would read, for one thing, I would talk to my pastor and I would try to find bona fide credentialed people to speak to that issue. I mean, the thing we have to worry about more than anything, Melanie, is glibness. Glibness, that is, the willingness to offer an opinion about anything without the sufficient depth to back it up. And our media culture allows for glibness on a very wide scale. And even about extremely consequential and serious matters like the conflict between Israel and Hamas and so on. People are uttering these ideas without any background, any knowledge whatsoever. And if you don't know anything about the issue, then you could just be quiet and learn something or just stay out of it. There's a time to be silent, scripture says. And we're in a society of constant jabbering, constant image distribution. I think we need to spend more time with the Lord on our knees, more time with serious Christians, praying, studying the Bible. A lot of how we should use social media is to use it less often, honestly, not to be addicted to it, not to take our phones with us everywhere, not to have to get a social media fix as soon as we get up or right before we go to bed. Not against it, obviously. I'm on social media a fair amount and I try to influence the world for good through my engagements, but there really is a time to unplug, slow down, and really ponder the deepest truths that we can through reading, conversation, attending church, and listening to the sermons and participating with the body of Christ.
I think that's a good word, just where you're saying just social discourse. It's like we just feel like we can say our opinions wherever, in whatever thread. And it's probably wise for Christians to listen more and type less, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I think so. But, scripture gives us that advice all the time. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And on the internet, it's very easy to just go immediately to anger. Something bothers you, you post a, an angry response, and that's it. And I've been guilty of that myself sometimes. But Christians should be people of truth who speak the truth in love with wisdom. And that shouldn't be suspended just because we're online. That should be true of us in the totality of our character.
Well, this has been a very thoughtful conversation. I appreciate your insights into it. And I guess for my rapid fire question, what's just if someone says, I'm just not a reader, what would be something just very basic besides the Bible that you could recommend to them that would just help them understand why they need to think more deeply? Do you have something off the top of your head, or what are some steps that they could grow in that way without a specific book? What are specific steps that they could grow into engaging the mind and growing in that way and to love the Lord with their minds?
Well, some people have dyslexia, which makes it difficult to read, and that's a real problem that has to be addressed. But I think some people have never given reading a chance. So the best thing to do is to find satisfying and insightful books, classics like, let's say, Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. That's very engaging and thoughtful. Has its flaws, but God has used that book mightily in the last, what's it been now, 70, 80 years to reach people. So what I say, and I said this to a young guy about 10, 15 years ago, who said, I have trouble sitting still and reading. I said, okay, get into a room. Don't have any technology except a light so you can read the book. And just say, I want to read for 1 hour. That's it. I'm going to put a kind of a timer on, at least internally, and sit here with this Bible or Mere Christianity or something and read for 1 hour. See what happens. That could really change your life. You could develop a love and a desire for knowledge that you never had before. So it's very hard to just stop fussing and twitching and checking alerts and all the rest of it. But, give knowledge a chance to seep into your soul through deliberative reading.
Well, that's a good word. Thank you so much, Doug, for being a guest again on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Well, you're welcome. So happy to have done this now for a number of years. Thank you.
You've been listening to episode 460 of the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest was Dr. Douglas Grotius, who has written an article for his Culture Critique column in the Christian Research Journal. His article is called The Death of Credentials, How Social Media Influencers Dumbed Us Down, Lined Their Pockets, Displaced Experts, and Made Everything Worse. You can read his article for free at equip.org. You won't want to miss out on subscribing to the other podcasts from the Christian Research Institute. We have the Bible Answer Man podcast, which is published Monday through Friday with the best of the week on Saturday. It's hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff and is available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. In addition, Hank has a podcast called Hank Unplugged. Hank takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, essential Christian conversations on critical issues with some of the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet. And you won't want to miss out on the brand new podcast from the Christian Research Journal. Christian Research Journal Reads presents audio versions of Christian Research Journal articles. It was a print incarnation of almost 45 years. It's now on the web, as you know, with new articles every single week. So you won't want to miss these audio articles of some of our most popular and most accessed articles on our website, equip.org.